Good morning. Everyone looks like they're in different seats this morning. We've condensed it down a little bit. This is a little different, but I like it. Not bad. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. It is that time of year where people are getting together. We have time off work, and so we want to acknowledge that. And the lesson for today from John 3:16, looks like a 5, but that's John 3:16. Our aim and goal of this morning's lesson is to have a joyful Christmas. Scrooge, the Grinch, and I was thinking of a third one, and sometimes I feel like Charlie Brown. I am one of those that has preached, and I continue to share the information. Jesus was not born on December 31st, as far as we can tell. He was probably born in the springtime. His name was not Jesus. It was really translated Joshua, which is Yeshua. He was not born in an inn. He was born in a house. He just didn't get into the guest bedroom. We've covered that before. And then lastly, but not least, this is a tradition that people hold to and share each year, where we give gifts, we have Christmas trees, but this is just an American tradition that has spread out further to other places. It is not something that is like partaking of the Lord's Supper or something that's commanded in scriptures. You're not going to find the command for Christmas in your Bibles. So I hate to disappoint, but again, my aim for this lesson is to not be a Scrooge, but to try to find a way that we can enjoy this holiday season and the season that we've been presented with. With that said, and before we enter into the lesson, I will have a lesson next week for RTC, and then we'll jump back into our routine and get back into the book of Hebrews. But that will be the schedule for next week. This time of year, everyone sets up a nativity scene. You see the little baby Jesus, you see the oxen, the sheep, Mary and Joseph at the barn, which they were not at a barn, but that's the scene that you have set up. And every year, my grandmother set up the nativity scene above her television. The only thing that I couldn't stand is every year, some of the characters would be in different positions. You would have the sheep on one side one year, and then the sheep were on the other side the next year. Mary and Joseph were placed in one position one year, and then next year it would change positions. And we could never have it set up the same way every single year. It was always different. No matter how you set up your nativity scene, everybody has to tear it down. Everybody has to pack it away until the next year. And what happens after the holiday season, after Christmas, after the New Year's, is a lot of people get sad and depressed, and they get discouraged. So what's really important, and I want us to grab this from the lesson, how can we enjoy Christmas, and how can we enjoy the days after Christmas so we don't fall victim to becoming depressed or saddened? John 3:16 is our text, but I want to talk about this for a moment. Love and Christmas. For most of us, we have this innate sense of what love is. We know when we feel loved by other peoples, we know how to show love to other individuals as well. But how do you define love? And this is where certain concepts in our world are really big and important, but they're also hard to pin down and explain and to give a proper definition to it. For instance, if I were to ask you to explain beauty, how would you explain what makes something beautiful or what is beautiful in your own mind? It's hard to explain. And to confuse things further, I may say, I love Megan, my wife. But then in another context, someone may hear me say, I love McDonald's number 5 in the 10-piece nugget. And obviously, you know that I mean different things when I say I love McDonald's as compared to my wife. I love the fries. I love the milkshakes when the ice cream machine is actually working. But that's not the same as me loving my wife or loving Megan. And everyone understands what I mean. As it turns out, throughout this holiday season, everyone is going to see commercials. You're going to sit down, you're going to watch television, and that's what I want to do this morning. We're going to have a little advertisement or commercial. This is our Christmas sermon commercial. There is a book that before I marry couples, before they get engaged, I have them purchase, or I get it for them in general, a book called The Five Love Languages. Now, some of you may have heard of the five love languages before. Some of you may not have heard of the five love languages. Well, it's important because it helps you to define and understand love in your life. How are you a person that expresses love to others? Can you explain that? Well, this book is a way to help you understand your love language and how you express it or communicate it to other people. So here are the five love languages that are narrowed down in the book. Here's the first one. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. And you may be an individual that this is how you express your love. This is how you distribute love, through kind words. Are you someone who values compliments? Do you do things and then long for that compliment or that word of affirmation from someone else? When you see someone do something nice or something that is good, are you a person that goes, hey, I have to go up and say something to them? Well, then guess what your love language is? Words of affirmation. You like to communicate your love verbally. For others, it may be gift giving. This is a perfect time of season. There are certain people that they love to wrap presents and they love to give presents away. That is not my love language. I am not much of a gift giver. I love receiving gifts, but this is much different. This is someone who loves to give gifts. There are individuals who love spending hours and hours in the store trying to find that perfect gift. And that may not be, right, Jerry? That's not for Jerry. We don't like walking around the stores for hour and hour. There are some people that really enjoy this, and that's their language. They love to give people gifts. They enjoy making and sending things like cards for every occasion. If you've ever received a card from certain individuals here at church on your birthday, your graduation, your wedding, well, this is how people share their love with you. They love sending you a present, sending you a gift, which happens to be a card, which happens to have words of affirmation on it, words of encouragement. So they may not do it verbally, but they communicate their love through giving gifts. And that's much easier for them to do. Here's another one. Some people like spending quality time with others. Are you a person that just likes to hang out with other people? You don't really have to have anything particular you're doing. You just like to sit with them. Because why? You enjoy other people's company. But that's not for everybody. Perhaps hanging out isn't your thing. Maybe you prefer doing something. Well, that's our next love language. Acts of service. So you always have that family member or that certain someone who they, when they go to grandmother's house or they go to whoever's home, they always look for something to do. They can't just sit there and enjoy their quality time with other people. Why? Because it's not their love language. There's something that needs to be done. Grandma's gutters need cleaning. So that person goes out there and gets a ladder, and you're like, what is Uncle Bob doing out there? Well, he's cleaning gutters. Why? That's his way that he expresses and communicates love to others. Acts of service. What about the last one? Who are the huggers and handshakers in the congregation? Don't raise your hand. You know who you are. Those are those people who love to hug. They love to interact. They love to shake hands. And this is how they express their love to other people, through physical touch. You can already envision how problems could occur because of this. Miscommunication can happen. Have you ever given someone a gift for the holiday season just to see their reaction and their excitement that they didn't display? And you're disappointed, and you're thinking, well, did they just not like my gift? Why didn't they appreciate it? Don't they know how much I spent on that? Don't they know the time that I spent on it? Well, you're miscommunicating, because that may not be their particular love language. To make it worse, after you give them that gift and you don't get the reaction that you thought or you think you should get, well, then that person won't leave you alone. They're around you all the time after that. They won't leave your house. Guess why? Their love language is quality time. So in order to show you the appreciation for that gift, they don't do it maybe out front of people when they get a gift, but they tend to like to spend time with you. That's how they express their love for you. And they're always there. They always like spending time with you after that. Have you ever gone to offer someone a hug who did not reciprocate that hug? Or worse, you go to offer a handshake and you receive this floppy hand with just a few fingers. But the irony is that same non-hugging, limp handshaker is always there for every project no matter what. Why? Because they love lending a helping hand. They're just not good at shaking hands. When you hear the nativity story and you think of the incarnation, Jesus coming into this world, which part of the story stands out to you the most? Is it the part, or do you gravitate towards the words of encouragement spoken by the angelic host? Or maybe the part of the story that sticks out to you is the gift givers, the magi, and you really enjoy that part. Perhaps you thought about the special time that Mary and Joseph and this new baby boy, the Messiah, the Christ, came to this earth. Maybe that stands out to you. Or maybe you're inclined to think, oh man, how wonderful it would have been Mary wrapping Jesus in swaddling clothes and putting him safely in that manger. Maybe that was the part of the story that stood out to you. Well, it may just depend on what your love language is. What does all this mean? Well, all this means for us, and what we're trying to get to, is understanding what our love language is. How do we love others? How do we define it? Love is actually a really big deal for Christians. This is something that 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us, that God is love. If you were in Bible class, go ahead and turn to 1 John 4 and you can leave your text there. 1 John 4, and we'll come back to this at the end of our lesson. But the scripture in 1 John 4, 8 says, "He who does not love does not know God." Why? For God is love. Notice, it does not say that love is God. And this word order is actually important for us, because the second version, love is God, it confuses the value of love with God. So John tells us that one of the main characteristics of God is his ability to love. Why? Because he is the source of true, genuine love. All love has its source from God. It comes from him. And that's how God likes to express himself. He likes to show love to others. Hence, we have John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son. Now, which love language does God have then? You could say that those are words of affirmation, couldn't you? You could also say that God is a gift giver. He gave his only... What else could you say? How would quality time fit into there? He sent his only begotten Son to come spend special quality time with his people. Okay, what about acts of service? What did Jesus say? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Physical touch, what does 1 John chapter 1 tell us? We touched him, we beheld him, we were close to him. They got to feel him. Why? Because he was here. God loves physical touch. So all five love languages come from God himself, and you can find it in passages such as John 3:16. So when God became human in the form of his Son, he shared the human experience. And it was from these common experiences that Jesus forged the foundation of his lasting, loving relationship with his people. Now, what are we called to be like? We're called to be like Christ. The two commands that we have from Matthew chapter 24, verses 34 through 40, is to love God and to love others. So we better learn how to do this. And the most comprehensive definition of love in all of the scriptures is found from the chapter deemed the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's all about how to define love and what it means. And if you're a person that loves definitions, then I strongly urge and encourage you to memorize all of the ways that love is defined in that particular chapter. Used or enjoyed. How do you know if you truly love something? One brilliant person from the past, he had suggested that if you use something, you truly do not love that thing or that person. If you're using it, you are simply using it as a means to an end. You're trying to get something out of it. So how do you know the difference? What's a good question to ask? Are you using this thing or person for another reason or goal? Or do you enjoy that thing or person for their own sake? How do you know if you love someone or something? Well, that's a good guideline for you. Here, let me give you an example. Are you a person that says, I love to walk? Well, do you love using walking, or do you enjoy walking just for the sake of walking? Some people may say, I walk for my intended goal to do what? Get in better shape, to be healthier. Well, you are using walking for your intended goal. What if your person likes the outdoors? Well, you use walking to go and enjoy the outdoors and to see nature and everything outside. You're using walking for another reason. Some people, like my mom, I believe, I'm not speaking for her, but when mom was still alive, my mom loved walking. And I think she loved walking just simply for the sake of walking. Was she trying to get better shape? Yeah, maybe. Was she trying to get healthier? Yeah, perhaps. But I think mom just liked walking. She walked around everywhere. She walked around the house everywhere. She walked around the yard everywhere. She never stopped. She was like the Energizer Bunny. And I think she just loved walking for the sake of walking. That means she enjoyed walking. You could say that she loved it because she was able to enjoy it. She was able to appreciate it. When it comes to people, we can end up doing the same thing. Do you enjoy people or do you use them? Do you help the poor because you simply feel guilty for having more than that person? Or do you help the homeless poor person out because you truly are concerned for their well-being? That's the difference, and we need to figure out which one that we like to do. If you're a person that really is concerned for someone's well-being, then you know that just throwing a couple bucks at their feet really isn't going to do a whole lot for them. True love is not about us, it's about others. True love sacrifices needs, comforts, and wants on behalf of the other people. How do we translate all this into a love for God during this time of year? What would it look like for us to pursue God because we simply enjoy Him? Not because we get at what we can get out of it. Not because, hey, I just want to try to avoid hell. I don't want to go to a bad place. Well, can you find a way to truly love God using the love languages that we've covered this morning and to enjoy the relationship that you have with God? If you're a person that likes words of affirmation and that really sticks out to you, how can you translate that into a love for God? What about when you pray? Would you call those words of affirmation? Absolutely. What about when you sing songs here at church? That should really touch on your love language. Those are words of affirmation that you can give back to God. What about gift giving? Obviously, we've talked about gift giving. If you're a person that is inclined to give gifts, you can certainly offer something to God. And God looks for us to bless the church and the family here with gift giving. What about acts of service? What does Matthew chapter 25 teach us about acts of service? If you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. You can give that acts of service, doing good deeds, doing kind acts to other people, is really giving that back to God. Okay, what about the physical touch or the physical presence? Hopefully you hung out in 1 John chapter 4, because if you continued reading, then you know what the text goes on to say. 1 John 4 and verse 9, we'll read the next part of the verse. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God had sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, here's the physical presence and the physical touch. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love has been perfected or matured in us. I'm going to argue that, yes, we can't physically touch God, but we can spiritually. Just like Brother Randy touched on in Bible class, Jesus has torn the veil. Now we have direct access to God. No one throughout all of church history had ever been that close to God as Christians in the new covenant. Jesus paved that way for us. I would argue that being able to be in the spiritual presence of God is closer than being in someone's physical presence. What are we supposed to do with all this information? Doesn't Christmas get used for all the wrong reasons this holiday season? This American tradition? Retailers use it to promote sales. Salvation Army uses it to make more money. But can I encourage you today, just for the today, enjoy this holiday season for the sake of the holiday season. Well, what does that mean? Enjoy your time off. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your family. Enjoy all the traditions that come with that. One of my favorite traditions, which I had forgotten about, but I have recently been reminded, and it's one of my favorite. My mom, my grandma, and my Aunt Debbie all used to make chocolate-covered cherries. And that was one of my favorite traditions for the holiday season. And so today, I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to enjoy chocolate-covered cherries because we got time off and I get to spend time with family and friends. Take today for what it is. Enjoy life together with God and with others. Why? Because they are your family. And for no other reason do you love them than other than them being blessed, God blessing you with that family. If we can help you in any way this morning, if we can encourage you to be baptized for the remission of sins, maybe we can encourage you to repent of sins, please come forward as we stand and we sing.